Dream Vision 7 Radio Network welcomes Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Heard every Monday at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Using nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent afterlife evidence, quantum physics, consciousness research, and ancient writings, we seek to understand who and what we are, how reality works, the nature of God, and the meaning and purpose of our lives. Join Roberta weekly to better understand our one reality and gain insights into how we can make the most of the glorious eternal beings that we are.
Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm so delighted that you're with us today. This is our new host place. We're coming to you from the XZBN network, xzbn.com, and with my wonderful, wonderful, actually now my technician as well, Rob McConnell, who's one of my dear friends. So we have a lot of fun, he and I, together. I hope that you'll enjoy our new home. And I know you're going to love our guest because you already do. We're going to have back with us again today for this hour, Suzanne Wilson. She is the greatest living evidential medium. And it was only when I met Suzanne in February of 2015 that I first understood what a really good medium is able to do. It's boggling. Not only did she connect me with transitioned family members that gave me amazing personal details. No one else could have said the things they said. So there was just no doubt that the dead survive. I learned it that day all over again. But also, she introduced me to my primary spirit guide, and she jump-started this extraordinary time of my life when I'm not living for myself anymore. Instead, everything that I do is for my primary guide and dear eternal friend. I cannot adequately express the joy of discovering as I begin old age that my most important part of my life really is just beginning. So exciting. So Suzanne and I have become close friends, and when she told me she felt called to write a book about afterlife communications from the perspective of the people we used to think were dead, I thought that was a great idea. I offered to help her with advice and editing, and we've had so much fun working on this book. The result is terrific. It's called Soul Smart, What the Dead Teach Us About Spirit Communication, and it's a book that really has been badly needed. There's nothing else like it. People ask me questions all the time about how the dead think and feel and about communication and about other things, and only Suzanne Wilson can answer those questions. She writes beautifully, and you're going to love her book. But meanwhile, let's love Suzanne. Welcome, Suzanne. I'm so glad you're with us today.
Thank you for having me back, Roberta. I'm thrilled to be here. It's always fun to hang out with you.
Yeah, we actually do this in our private life, too. We've become good personal friends. But whenever I get to introduce her to people who maybe haven't met her before, I find that especially exciting. So, Suzanne, most of the people listening are going to know who you are. But can you just briefly tell us a little bit about yourself and what how you got into this and just a little about who you are?
Sure. Well, here's the Cliff Notes version, or the Carefree Medium for Dummies, if you will, really quick. I was very concerned earlier in life about fitting in, and so I had a traditional education, traditional career, bachelor's in management, master's in public administration. I worked in university administration at the director level, corporate, human resources, and I always knew that I had abilities to see spirits and communicate with them, but I wanted to shut it down. Did not want that to intrude on my credibility professionally. And then I had a near-death experience exactly 10 years ago this month. And after that near-death experience, it changed my priorities about life and afterlife. And here I am.
It's clear you were always meant to be a medium. You've had these abilities since childhood. I think one thing we want to just say quickly to parents is that a lot of children have these abilities to some extent. So if your child starts talking about people you don't see, that doesn't say anything negative about your child, but you may be blessed with a psychic child. I think that's one thing I maybe would like to do an episode with you about, you know, how parents should be relating to their children who might have psychic ability, because I sometimes get that question too. But meanwhile, what made you decide you wanted to write Soul Smart?
I actually received it as a request. I would wake up at 3 o'clock or 3:03 or 3:33 a.m. You know, that sudden urge to look at the clock in the middle of the night when you're in a sound sleep.
Yes.
And one time when I was doing that, I was hearing, "You'll write a book," and I'm like, "Really? Come on!" And went back to sleep. And I wasn't clear at first, what book is my spiritual team asking me to write? So I started flailing about with, you know, I've been a lifelong note taker, and I had notes in notepads, notebooks, but I also had them on the back of grocery store receipts and sticky notes. And I started gathering that stuff together. And I just didn't know which way to go until the dead started saying, "We want you to write what we're saying." Not necessarily what you've experienced, but I had interviewed all of these great beings from the other side for years about what it's like and what they're actually doing behind the scenes to communicate with us. And they said, write that. And so it is.
Well, clearly there's a need for this. A lot of people wonder what it is that the dead are really doing, how they really feel about it. And they think, people will ask me the question, I'll say, "I don't know, I'm as psychic as a post." I know you think I'm more psychic than my post, but not a lot. So I just find this book like candy to read. It's just so pleasurable to have all of this information in a way that's tasty as opposed to, you know, slogging. And so...
Well, you gave me a master's class in writing, Roberta. I mean, I was a blogger before this. There's a huge difference between blogging and writing a book, but you showed me, move this here, switch this around, and you really made it possible. So you and I and our teams work together.
We make a great team. And this really actually has been a funny story between us, because she told me she was going to write this book. We had the cover design. She's with my same wonderful, wonderful publisher, CFA Publishing in Media. And it was easy to get started, and then she kept stopping. So the fact that we finally have this book is really a gift. But tell Suzanne, what do you expect people will get from this book? When you were writing it, what were you thinking about you wanted people to get from it?
My friends in the dead community said, "We want you to give easy to follow steps that people can use to connect with guides and loved ones who are in spirit. But we also want to explain to you how hard we work from
yes.
our end to make our part of the communication happen, and exactly what we're doing to give the folks on earth a context for this." Because, you know, you write in your books, Roberta, that dying doesn't make anybody all-knowing. It also doesn't make them an expert in communicating with the earthly plane. They actually go to places and get help to
yes.
enter our dreams and to give us signs.
I thought that was really fun. There's a hall of communion or something that they go to, and they act out in advance the things they're going to do to communicate. Well, talk about that. I thought that was fascinating to me.
Well, I had about 30 different trusted friends that would come in and give great evidential detail from the other side. And then I could feel they were higher vibrational. They would explain to me that they were master spirit guides for others. And I'd say, "You got a few minutes? I'm going to ask you some questions about
yeah.
what it's like over there." And I started collecting this stuff for me because I wanted to understand that world. And so what they told me about are halls of reunion. There are rooms within the halls of reunion that serve specific purposes. And some of the rooms are like a Broadway stage where the soul will go in and request help. There are special guides and angelic beings or ETs or whatever you want to call them, but they're higher vibrational, not human, that will help them and say, "Look, I want to rehearse getting into Roberta's dream visit, and I'm going to do it in a week from now in Earth time. And they'll say, okay, well, here's what you have to do. They help you boost your energy. They will even create almost like a movie set of a meeting place. Like if we want to meet a loved one in meditation, oh, Dad, I want to meet you at the park. I'm going to meditate. Remember the park we used to go to and the bench we would sit on? They'll create it in the halls of reunion. It's like live theater for them. And then when it's ready, they'll move it someplace on the astral plane so that when you meditate, you go out of body, you're actually meeting your loved one there in a place that looks very much like that park. So this stuff, it doesn't just happen. They're not all powerful.
Yes.
Hey, listen, if the dead were all powerful, all knowing, they would just walk in to the room and say hi and sit down and have a cup of tea. It ain't that easy.
Yes. No, it's fascinating. And what I love about doing this work, one of the many things I love, is that things keep jibing. Something you say fits with something that someone else says that I may have heard years ago. It all fits together. Don't you find that fascinating?
Right.
I mean, I had learned before about the fact that they create the special space that where we meet in the astral. We don't meet with them in the afterlife levels. There's a non-afterlife place, which is also in the astral, but about the same vibrational level, probably. And they create a space there. And I knew that already. So when I read that in your manuscript, I said, see, there's another validation. It's amazing. Just amazing.
It really is. And the whole thing is, we have to remember that nothing happens in a vacuum. And no one is alone and no one works alone. So when you are meeting your loved one in meditation, your spiritual team, your guides and angels around you are helping you. They're helping your vibe, your frequency, your energy lift and a little part of your soul go out of body to meet your loved one. Well, same thing on the other side.
Yes.
They have helpers helping them. Even with EVPs, that doesn't just happen. There are committees and groups and specialized guides that help get that EVP or electronic voice phenomenon through. It's a collaborative effort on both sides of the veil.
Yeah, I mean, Mikey Morgan talks some about this. We've talked with his mother, who is his channel, in the past. He's a sixth level being, very advanced, who came in so he would be able to talk with us, learn how to communicate with us, was here for 20 years, went home in 2007. And he talks about working with people when they have first transitioned, who are desperate to get through to their loved ones and let them know they're okay. And he talks about the things he would teach them to do. How do you want to communicate with them? Well, this is how we do that. And there are techniques. It's not something people know. It's something they have to be taught. And that's something I think would be comforting to a lot of people who will complain to me, why haven't I heard from him or her? Well, they can't just pick up a phone. Not yet. That's coming, but not quite yet.
Not quite yet, but as you said, the technology is going to come to fruition here, but it has to be built there.
Yes.
First. Everything originates there rather than here.
Those working on it now, and we've talked with Dr. Gary Schwartz here before, and we've talked with Dr. R. Craig Hogan, both of whom are working with dead teams, very famous dead people, actually, and famous scientists. And those dead teams are working on two different methods for communicating between there and here. And all that the living researchers are is basically lab assistants, which is, I think, kind of amazing and delightful. So what do you find hardest for people to understand about this communication process? Are you hearing from people who are just beginning to understand that it's possible? What do people say to you about this?
I'm hearing from beginners and I'm hearing from working mediums. And everybody's finding some golden gem that helps them. And they're finding things that they want to know more about. To give you an example, I've been getting questions from people, you know, I've been getting these butterflies all the time. Whenever I sit outside on my back porch and I think of mom, the butterfly lands on my hand or on my head or something like that. And I've always thought my mom is the butterfly. Like, I'm like, my mom it becomes this butterfly. And she says, I read your book and I realized they actually ask that butterfly, may I make a soul-to-soul connection with you? The butterfly gives permission. The loved one in the light will use some kind of almost like a remote control, like a TV remote control, and control the little loop-de-loos and the landing that the butterfly makes. And at the end, they disconnect. The butterfly feels great, and you got your sign. So, you know, your loved one isn't the insect, but it's two souls, because that insect has a soul, too. It's two souls connecting to make a special moment just for you.
I have to remind people who may not have heard this episode, when I talked about what my mother did 2 weeks after she died. It was hot summer in Austin, and I went out on a deck one morning, and my whole deck was filling with, I can't remember what she did first, dragonflies. My whole backyard was full of thousands of dragonflies. Nowhere else in the neighborhood were there any dragonflies at all. It was too hot. And it was beautiful. And I thought, oh, what a lovely thing Mom did. Then the next morning, I went out to see if there were any more dragonflies. It was filling with butterflies of all colors,
wow,
many kinds I had not even seen before. And that went on. Actually, it started late morning. It went on the whole afternoon. And the next day, it was dragonflies again. I've never heard of anything like this happening. 3 days in a row. Dragonflies, butterflies, dragonflies. The next day, the fourth morning, I went out late morning because I hadn't seen any insects, and when I walked onto my deck, a butterfly and a dragonfly, the butterfly was bright orange, flew right in front of my face side by side, and I never saw any other insects the whole summer. Isn't that amazing?
And you made that possible. Yes, you're living. Yes, you're on Earth, but it is the heart-to-heart love bond that never dies that makes that possible. She sees you getting all excited, and you know it's her, and that just amps up the energy for her to give you more. Another thing I'm getting from people is I've always wanted to finish some unfinished business with a loved one on the other side, and your book showed me how. I tell them about writing a letter to the loved one and holding it to your heart. And what happens is it's almost like a fax to the other side. An exact facsimile of the letter you write appears there. They may even be reading it over your shoulder before you finish writing it.
I'm sure they do.
And you can feel lighter and better afterwards. So there's just a lot of easy little things. This doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to connect with your own loved ones in spirit. Is not complicated. And there's not a big learning curve. It's the connecting with other people's loved ones on a consistent basis over and over that has the big learning curve. But that's not what this is about. This is about everyday people.
I think that's an important point. There, people who are not innately gifted to do this, you really can't learn it from a book, or I don't think you can learn it no matter how you practice. You can maybe pick up some of it, but what people like Suzanne Wilson do is consistently is they can connect with your loved ones so tightly that, I mean, what comes out of your mouth is stuff nobody else would know, and in detail, like the names and the places and the things that happened and little tiny, you know, nuisance-y details you might not even have thought about, but nobody else would have known. So this isn't a how-to book if you hope to become a professional medium. This is more like, you know, I wish they didn't seem so far away. Well, they're not far away. They're exactly where you are. They're just on a slightly higher vibration, like a slightly higher channel on a TV. And what this does is to allow them to give you signs that you notice and you say thank you. Always thank them aloud for anything that looks like it might be a sign. And the more you thank them, the more you encourage them to do more. But reading Soul Smart will help you understand how to help it happen, how to help it along, and how to notice it when it does happen. And as I say, one of the things I loved about it when I saw it after you had worked on it some more was how beautiful the language became. You really, I think you're a gifted writer, which is something I don't say to very many people. You really did a beautiful job with the language in this book.
Well, thank you. I think I was the coal that got polished into the diamond by you and in your spiritual team. So I appreciate that. You know, and I thought as soon as this came out, I the book's out. Yay, I feel great. Hey, team. Yay, team. Aren't you happy? And they're like, wait for it. And I'm like, oh, I know there's going to be critics. Or there are going to be people that don't like it. I found that there's a big controversy about my statement that suicide is never a part of a soul's plan.
Yes, I hear from people who also believe it is, but I've found no evidence that suicide is part of a soul's plan. So
I'm sticking with it because it's 100% of my trusted friends in the spirit world have said that. Now that person that committed suicide more than likely had an exit point pretty close to that time, but suicide is not something that's pre-planned. Imagine a soul saying, "I'm going to go there and kill myself, and I'm going to waste all that suffering that I had by not finishing out my life." Now, but the good news about the suicide is that nobody condemns or judges when you cross over. You go to another hall, and that's the hall of healing, where you're cocooned in love, light. You can learn to forgive yourself. But yeah, I'm getting letters pro and con almost every day about the whole suicide. One lady wrote me and said, "Oh my God, I feel so much better knowing that I didn't sit with my son before we incarnated and decided to let him kill himself." She
says, "No.
I actually felt guilty thinking
yes,
I would let
my
son
do that."
Yes, that's
a good point. Yes, yes. And I certainly don't want to encourage people. The more we talk about how wonderful it is to be there, we don't want to encourage people to hurry the process. Let's talk about now something which I didn't realize you could do so easily, but you say you can, and that is setting up a meeting with a loved one, someone you used to think was dead, but is of course not dead. And there's a whole process. There are a couple of processes that you go over in Soul Smart. Talk about that. I want to have a dream meeting, or I want to have a meditation meeting. How do you do that?
Well, those are the two most common ways. And the dream meeting, people have had a lot of success using this method. Now, I just want you to bear in mind that the dream state, the soul is very, very active during the dream state. Even though the body is down there in delta, very relaxed, brain waves, that just means brain waves are very, very slow. The soul can be at hyper speed. And we often will leave our body and go and visit loved ones somewhere on the astral. So, but we don't always remember that, because even if we get out of body and during sleep time we meet with our guides and we look at how's the life plan coming along, oh, do I want to edit an upcoming experience or whatever? Well, we come back into the body and in the morning we don't remember that. We're not meant to remember certain things, because it'd be like if the teacher gave you the answers to all the test questions, how would you learn, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay, well, dream visits are different. A dream visit with a loved one in spirit is all about connecting up and remembering the dream visit. And there's a very specific process for this. I'm going to go through it really quickly. So, you know, you may have to get the book to get the details or play this over and pause it. But first thing is, identify one loved one. Don't invite like 20 or 30 people in. It's going to be a little bit too much for your subconscious mind to be able to handle. But think of one loved one. You can do the others later. Pick one night a week. I like to meet with my grandfather, who is my father figure. And even as a medium, I can't summon somebody. I can't call them in. That would be rude. I will set up a date and say, "Okay, Granddad, I want to meet you in a dream visit Sunday night." And then I'll remind him every day I wake up in the morning. First thing is, "Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thank you that I have another day. And oh, by the way, Granddad, remember Sunday night, dream visit time. I hope you cleared your calendar," because they're busy, right?
They are.
Well, and then Sunday rolls around. I picked Sunday because I knew it would be my quietest day. I don't do email. I don't work. I don't do anything really that's stressful. There's some stress in life, but pick a day that's as least stressful as possible. All day long, I'm looking forward. I'm thinking about happy memories. I put a little sticky note on my bathroom mirror that says Granddad, because the last thing I do before I go to bed is brush my teeth and wash my face, so I'll see his name. By my bedside, I put certain things. And those things are, I have a white candle. I have his picture. I have a couple little objects of his. In a little glass bowl of water, simply because water is a great spirit energy conductor, okay? And then before I go to bed, I say a prayer of gratitude, light the candle, make sure you blow the candle out before you go to sleep, I've done that. I wake up in the morning like, oh, I had this candle burning all night. Anyway, not good.
No.
Right before you are falling asleep, go to that happy memory, okay, of time you spent together and ask your team for the gift of the dream visit. And this is the key, Roberta. This is the key. Don't forget this. Ask for the gift of remembering the dream visit. Okay. Go to sleep. In the morning, when you first wake up, close your eyes. What happened? Because when you first wake up, that's when you can access that memory.
Right.
Now, I want to tell you, if it doesn't happen the first time, I suggest trying it 3 weeks in a row the same night. And I've said this to crowds of 400 and gotten almost 100 email a week later from people saying that it worked. The
wow.
thing is, now you got to figure out if it's real, right?
Uh-huh.
I think I had a dream visit, but I'm not sure. Okay. Here are the indications it's real. It's short. It's very sweet. It's like their personality. It's very loving. You knew you were there. Maybe you could hug them or smell the way that they
yeah.
always smell. But it's really short. Okay, if the dream goes on and on and on and on and on, if it's not loving, if they're angry, that's your subconscious probably trying to work something out, or maybe that pizza you ate at 9 o'clock the night before.
Yes, all right.
So that's how you do the dreams.
Do these dreams linger? I mean, I've had two communication dreams spontaneously in my life, and they really do linger. Like I tell people, if you remember the dream by, you know, the next day, it probably
yes.
was a communication dream.
Yes.
These also stick with you like that?
You know what? It'll be just as fresh as if it happened an hour ago.
Yes, that's
it's
how it
felt. It's imprinted on your soul.
I love that. I love it. Now, this is a very special thing. For me, the dream visit that I really needed was with my horse. Yeah, I'd had him from the age of 6 months. He lived to be almost 30. I couldn't be with him when they had to put him down because he was not able to stand. And I felt terrible for 4 days. And then he gave me this beautiful dream. And I got to see what he looks like now. He's young and gorgeous. And it was it was a little story he told me. And I realized what he was doing was thanking me for the fact that I'd kept him safe his whole life long. Even though we moved, he was always safe and with us. And that transformed. I had no more grief for him. I just made a decision that next morning that I was never going to ride another horse or drive another horse until I got to ride or drive him. And Thomas tells me that I've asked to ride out on him. So I'm going to know I'm really about to leave when I see Bo standing there with his saddle on. I look forward to that.
you've brought up a couple of very important points here that can be very helpful and hopeful and healing to people. The first being that the animals are all there. They're all young again. There is no dis-ease, no injuries.
Yes.
And the time passes very quickly. Yes, they miss us, but they know that we're coming. They're just pure love energy, and they stay connected in some way to us and make their appearances from time to time. And the other thing, too, is that you asked, I need to know you're okay. You actually asked. I've had people say, I don't get any signs. I don't. Well, have you ever asked?
Yes, that's right.
No,
that's a good
don't
point.
They just
yes.
do that?
No. And they don't necessarily jump in and read the details of what we're thinking either, especially with animals. I think they're very respectful of us and of our privacy as best they can be. So, I mean, it's very important if you have, especially with animals. I get so many emails every day from people who have lost an animal. There's no grief like that, even for people somehow. I'm amazed at how much raw grief there is. So say it aloud to your pet. Say, I'd love to have a sign from you. Give me a dream. Give me something. And then I'll be able to hold that in my heart and know you're okay. And you probably get it. I really think you will. I mean, you could do that with the technique in Soul Smart, right? You can call for your pet instead to come to you.
Everything in that book can be done with a beloved person or pet. It's the same. The love is the same. The difference between the people and the animals, the people, they don't have any regrets. They don't have any shoulda, woulda, couldas, no baggage,
yes,
right?
Yes, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. One of the things you talk about, too, is meditation. I don't meditate, but some people find that they can meditate. And there are some beautiful scripts in Soul Smart about I mean, makes me want to do it. The scripts make it all so beautiful, about coming doing a meditation visit with a loved one.
And people can use those scripts, record themselves saying the words so that you hear your own voice. And eventually what I've found is you start to memorize parts of it, and then you can just key into it and use them whenever you want. But the thing about the meditation visit is you have to practice visualizing or imagining the meeting place and make the meeting place as clear in your mind. So pick something you already know, because that's easier for most of us, especially people say, I can't meditate. I can't get a picture in my mind. If you know the place, you certainly can. And if you pick a place that you and your loved one did enjoy together, it works beautifully. I had a client years ago who would meet her mom in meditation at a Neiman Marcus.
Yeah, you tell that story. Actually, there they are. They've been shopping. Yeah,
they've been shopping. They have their bags around them. You can hear the piano player around them because they did that on Sundays. I've had people set up the meditation places, the boat. They can feel the boat rocking. As real as you can make it, you are now speaking their language, the other side's language. It's the love language of heaven.
Yes.
It's composed of emotions and pictures, because they don't have arms and legs and voice boxes and all that sort of thing. You got to speak their language and make it happen.
Yeah, that's beautiful. But I think, I mean, I read my book here sometimes to just settle down to go to sleep. I found the meditation scripts to be so beautiful. People can get them from your website, right? They don't have to
Right.
read them themselves.
On my website, it's my voice at carefreemedium.com. That's right. I just wanted to share the scripts because I don't hold any of this as secrets and, oh, I've got the secret code and you have to come and see me. And you know, part of the whole reason that I stopped offering individual readings is because that's what my team asked me to do. They said, we want you to teach more. We want you to reach more. So pay it forward. Share these tips with other people.
Yeah, it's quite beautiful. One of the things I have just learned, because I came at this really from the viewpoint of a scientist, an experimenter, a researcher, not a practitioner of any kind, but what I've very late in my life come to understand is that once you know what's going on and you open your mind and heart to it, there are so many beautiful spiritual experiences that we can have. It's a whole new world, really. And I hope everyone listening will come to think about how, I mean, we live in our minds, and if you can make your mind as beautiful and lovely and welcoming as possible, you will be so much happier every day. That's one of the things I love about this book, and I hope you write more books like that that invoke this inner world that is so beautiful.
You know, and I didn't set out to write syrupy sweetness, and
it's,
you know,
not make, that,
it, you know, it, but it's comforting because it's the truth from the other side. It's what their lives are like. It's what they do to communicate with us. It's what they need from us to make the communication happen and to be more strong, more frequent. And that is intrinsically comforting to know that love lives forever and none of us is alone.
Yes, it's beautiful. We have with us today Suzanne Wilson, who is one of my dearest friends, and she's been talking about her book, Soul Smart, which to me, it's Soul Smart. The subtitle is What the Dead Teach Us About Spirit Communication, and it contains information I never even imagined. I don't have any way to communicate with the dead directly, but Suzanne does, and they asked her to write this book, and it's beautifully written, it's easy, it's a quick read, and it stays in your mind. It's one of those books that you really never do put down again once you've read it, and I find that beautiful. But Suzanne, tell us what you're up to now.
Well, I'll tell you, the main thing I'm really excited about is this fall, it's the ARAI Symposium in September 15th through 17th in Scottsdale. You and I are on the board of the Afterlife Research and Education Institute with Victor Zammit, Wendy Zammit, R. Craig Hogan. And here this big event is 3.5 months away still, and we're at over 300 tickets sold. We're going to sell out in the 500s.
Yes. Isn't it amazing? Thank you for mentioning that. Anyone who's remotely interested in meeting Suzanne and me and having more fun than you've ever had before, go to afterlifeinstitute.org and check it out, because the hotel is wonderful. The rooms are fantastic. They're all suites, and we have a special price on them too now, which will run out soon, I think. But this is going to be so much fun. Wait till you see all the people that are there as presenters. And one of the things we make sure when we ever do one of these events is that everybody mingles. We don't have the presenters just come in and then leave again, but everybody mingles and talks. You make so many friends, don't you think? I mean, haven't you found it's beautiful just to be there?
I think that meeting like-minded people is one of the biggest benefits to going, because so many things are on video conference now, but there's no substitute for meeting people in person, if you can.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. So we hope you'll think about joining us. And if you have questions, just contact one of us through our websites. Tell us again your website, Suzanne.
Carefreemedium.com. It's the word carefree and medium. And the reason why my clients actually nicknamed me the Carefree Medium is because I live and I work in carefree Arizona. But I also firmly believe that when you learn how to trust your inner voice, that you can truly live a more carefree life.
Yes. Well, I think of you as sort of carefree anyway. That's one of the things I think we should emphasize. One of the things about knowing all of this and living all of this is that it takes away a whole level of pain and stress that most people have in their lives. Your life really is eternal. There's nothing that can harm you. You're infinitely loved. What's the problem? You know, so you have a little trouble paying the rent. It really is. It puts every, don't you think it puts everything into perspective and puts love and happiness first when you really understand what's going on?
And knowing that you have an invisible team around you that's supporting you.
Yes.
One of my favorite things to do is to help people meet and establish a rapport with their spirit guides. And you can actually train yourself to feel their yes or no opinion in the body. Now, the guides don't want to tell you what to do, but they will give you gentle nudges in a direction, and they'll give you synchronicities and signs to tell you, rethink that one, or yeah, go forward. And you can learn how to access that more clearly and frequently.
We don't have a lot of time, but will you please just give us your little 30-second mini course on spirit guides? Because a lot of people, I talk about them all the time, and they probably say, huh? If they haven't heard me talk specifically about Thomas.
Well, I just did a weekend workshop with Suzanne Giesemann that we called Up Close and Personal with Us and with Your Spirit Guides. And I told the story about a woman who had waited 14 months to have a phone reading with me. When I got on the phone, she didn't have any loved ones that have passed that she went to connect with. All she wanted was the name of her spirit guide. I'm like, are you kidding? Wait, you can do this yourself.
Yeah, you have, right.
So, and this is my number one most frequently asked question about guides is, what's my main guide's name? Listen, guides have a lot of expertise. That's how they get to be guides. They can, most of the time, they go to a council of guides and make an application to become a guide, and they're vetted and they're approved. And that is based on their life experience. So your main spirit guide or master spirit guide or primary spirit guide, the one that's with you your whole life while others come and go based on your needs, that guide could have had 50 lives with 50 names. All you have to do is hit upon a name that you and your guide both accept and use that, because the guides understand that we don't want to say, hey, you. And you can do this real quick here. I'm answering the number one most frequently asked question, so pay attention to the answer here.
Okay.
About your guide's name, I want you to visualize or imagine a blank white movie screen in front of you, and let your guide spell out the name letter by letter, and you write it down. And then you can ask your guide, okay, let's say I got Mike, listen, guide, I think you want me to call you Mike. Is that right? A yes feeling is going to be a very uplifting, maybe like a warm, fuzzy feel. A no would be more of a wah, wah. Or some people actually feel like thud, you know, in the solar plexus.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
Work on it till you get a name. You just have to agree on a name. Not all of the guides have lived lives only on Earth. Some have lived in other dimensions or other places, but they've lived enough on Earth to be able to understand what you're going through and be your guide, and they do want you to talk with them.
I think that's wonderful advice. I should say it more often because it gives such a dimension to your life when you are in touch with and you really feel in sync with this wonderful being who is devoting your entire life to helping you make the most, get the most spiritual growth and make the most of your life. So thank you for that. That's we have to talk about that more, you and I. And I really would like to have you back again soon, Suzanne, because it's been a while. We really need to talk. We should talk more.
Sounds great.
Life is busy. This has been Suzanne Wilson, who, as I think all of you know who have listened for a while, is my very favorite medium on the face of the earth and one of my closest friends. And Suzanne, thank you for being here. The book is Soul Smart. What the Dead Teach Us About Spirit Communication. I love this book. I'll be reading it again, even though I helped her write it. It's a beautiful book, and it will help you very much to do the most important thing you ever can do, which is grow spiritually. That's one of the great fruits of talking with the people we used to think were dead. We really do grow spiritually. And you know that love never ends, and your people, the people you love, never end. So thank you, Suzanne. We'll have you back again.
It's my pleasure, and I'll look forward to coming back. And just real quick, even if you're pressed for time and you get my book, just go through and highlight where it says Soul Smart Tips, and that in itself is a good education for you. So
great
thanks
point.
For having me, Roberta.
Thank you, dear. This, as you know, everyone, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, and I'm so glad you could be with us today. This has been a special one. Never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, and you never will end. And when you really get the implications of that, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Trust me on that. Next week, our guest is going to be Andy Paverini, and he's someone else who shares Suzanne's and my wonderful publisher, CFA Publishing and Media. Andy is, and this is his words, a teacher and a student of transformational awareness who balances the business world, adventures galore, and a Zen lifestyle to create a life of blissful peace. I just love that, what he said about himself. And he's really kind of a down-to-earth guy. He's written two books with his dog. And one is entitled Hunter's Tale, A Dog's Guide to Human Healing, Love, and Peace. And more recently, Hunter's Tale, that's T-A-I-L, A Guide to Touching Human Hearts One Soul at a Time. Andy bills himself as Hunter's Paw, P-A-W. Get it? He's actually the scribe for his dog. Yeah, when my publisher told me I really ought to have him on, I thought he was just going to appeal to animal lovers, but I love her, and I thought, great, if she says so, I should. But his books are really full of spiritual wisdom. I mean, we all identify closely with animals if we have them, and to look at our lives from the lives of our pets, from the viewpoints of our pets, is a great idea. Just as Suzanne Wilson's revealing how the dead think about communication has given us truths we couldn't learn unless we could get around and look at ourselves and look at the world from their perspective, so Andy Paverini has used the perspective of his dog, Hunter, to give us beautiful and compelling insights that will uplift you. You'll love these books. Really, only when we get outside ourselves are we truly able to see ourselves. And the viewpoint of love is really the only viewpoint. This week we've been talking with our wonderful friend, the world's greatest living evidential medium, Suzanne Wilson. Her new book is Soul Smart, What the Dead Teach Us About Spirit Communication, and I think it's a must-read for anyone who hopes to make an ongoing afterlife connection with a loved one. You would be amazed how densely you can stay connected to people as long as you are willing to put forth the effort. They're reaching out to us right now, and if we'll just open our minds and hearts, we can stay in touch. Her book is really beautiful. Even if you're not interested in spirit communication, you'll learn a lot of things from it. Of course, my nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, The Fun of Growing Forever, and The Fun of Living Together. As always, I want you to know how thrilled I am that you're part of my life. Thank you for listening. And meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being and you are infinitely loved.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.